Jesus talked to the common people in words that they could understand. He didn't use a lot of religious words or seminary terms. He spoke to them in common language and talked to them in stories and parables. He compared the kingdom of God to things that we know about. He did that on purpose so that we would know what that kingdom is like. When I was a young child and raised in the church, we were taught that we were waiting until the day that we die so that we can enter God's kingdom. But I've found out since then that the kingdom of God is available to us here on earth. Amen. That someday we'll indeed die and reach the fullness of that kingdom where we'll be in heaven with him. But even while we're here on earth now, we can walk in the kingdom of God. But it's a special place. As I said last week, it's a holy place. In Psalm 91, it says it's the secret place of the Most High God. And God wants us to stay there, to dwell there, to live in that place as we go through our lives on planet Earth. In today's reading, Jesus continued with his analogies and allegories about what the kingdom of God is like. He equated it to the little seeds that are planted and a pearl that you find that's so valuable that you do anything to get that pearl. A plot of land with treasure hidden in it, and you'll buy the land to get the treasure. He said also in the Holy Scriptures that it's the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Did you know you can't work for it? It's the Father's good pleasure to give us that kingdom. He said to look for that kingdom first and foremost above anything else in your life. If you do that, then the rest of what we need will come with it. We sang it this morning. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. But make that your first and foremost thing that you're after in your life. He speaks of the Father who's seated on the throne, who's seated on the throne in the heavenlies, and yet the loving God who through his Holy Spirit lives here with us in our hearts. This kingdom is ruled by a triune God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus compares this kingdom to a mustard seed. Have you ever seen a mustard seed? They're really small. They're like a grain of pepper out of the pepper shaker. Really tiny seeds. He said when you plant one, it's a very small seed, but when it grows, it becomes a very large plant. It becomes a shrub and a tree where the birds make nests in it and they find refuge. That's good news. Do you know why it's good news? Because God uses things and people that are small and insignificant to complete his work. And the reason I said that today is that there's some people sitting here today who said, God can never do anything through me because I'm small and insignificant. Jesus said his kingdom works through people just like us. People who are commonplace, everyday people. That's why he told his parables. He wasn't talking to royalty who existed on earth and sitting on thrones in their kingdoms of the world. He was talking to us, the everyday people who wander along planet earth and go about our daily lives and work. He can use you, he said, just like a mustard seed, no matter how small you are. He can use you. Jesus showed us this by taking a few loaves and fishes. And he showed his disciples how to divide the loaves and fishes and feed 4,000 people and 5,000 people. Two different times. He can take small things and make them big things. Did you know that? That's good news for all of us. He took a little mud and a little spittle out of his mouth to heal a blind man who was blind. And the man washed off the dirt and he could see. God can use dirt and spit as a point of contact in his kingdom. The dirt and spit didn't heal the man. The power and authority that Jesus had as the Son of God and Son of Man is what healed him. But guess what? He gave us that authority. He gave it to us. Now we can reach out and heal people by laying out of hands, anointing of oil, and by prayer. The kingdom of God is what grew on earth out of the disheveled and disorganized band of men called the disciples. The men and women who followed Jesus around spread his word from that time on. They preached the gospel of the kingdom, and they were like a little yeast wherever they went. You know what yeast does? I've had the privilege in my life of making bread, and especially cinnamon rolls, which in my not-so-humble opinion is much better than bread. I used to be the manager of a country kitchen restaurant back in my, it's years ago. Yeah. And we used to make cinnamon rolls that we advertised were as big as the plate. We did that on purpose. We had smaller plates back then, but still, they were big cinnamon rolls, okay? We'd drizzle that cinnamon and butter on them and drizzle that icing. But when you began in the morning, in the wee hours of the morning, When you began making those cinnamon rolls and you needed that dough, you had to put yeast in that dough. And you put a little tiny bit of yeast into a huge amount of dough, and then you kneaded it. We usually put it in this big mixing machine. And then you let the dough sit while you went and did other things. And a half hour later, you came back, and that dough had risen to three times its original size. And then you got to what we call punch it. You punched the dough. You turned it over and let it rise one more time, and then you started making it into cinnamon rolls. You rolled it out, put the butter and the cinnamon and sugar. Is your mouth watering yet? I'm trying to get you. And then you start rolling that thing up, and you slice it and put it in a pan and bake it in the oven, and they grew like this. See, leaven is yeast. It's the same thing. It's what causes that dough to rise and to become big, and that's what the kingdom of God is like. That's what Jesus was trying to tell the people. A little tiny bit of yeast will go a long ways, make that dough expand and rise. The message the disciples and the people that followed Jesus took, that good news made those three, called the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, visible and attainable to the masses, like the yeast leavening the three batches of dough. The kingdom is sought as the most precious thing a person can go after. It's like a pearl of great price, which when you find it, you sell everything in order to attain it. Jesus wants us not only to be aware of his kingdom, but to live there, to live in that kingdom. Well, we can't leave planet Earth, but we can live in that kingdom while we're walking around on planet Earth. He wants us to regard it like a treasure which we keep for ourselves and guard with our lives. Did you notice the Old Testament reading this morning, the story of Solomon? Solomon was made king, and I think it was thrust upon him kind of quickly. And the Lord came to Solomon through the prophet, and he says, anything you want, I'll give you. Anything. Ask me what you want. What did Solomon ask him for? Discernment. And I want to be a good ruler. I want to be able to tell what's right and wrong. I want to be a good ruler of your people. And God says, you know what? Solomon had told God, he said, I'm just a young man. I'm a kid. God said, because you asked for that and not for wealth or long life or riches, because you asked for that, I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to add all the other things to you as well. What we know of Solomon is that he became the richest and wisest man that ever lived. But he started out as a kingdom-type person. He was a kingdom sort of guy. He gave God a kingdom kind of answer. I want to know what you want me to do, God. I want to rule the way you want me to rule. I want to think the way you think, God. And that's kind of like, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. That's the same thing, isn't it? Excuse me. Jesus' kingdom did not begin when he appeared on earth, born of the Virgin Mary, nor did it end with his ascension into heaven. The kingdom of God has always been. He wants us to be part of it. He wants us to live like kingdom people. He wants us to know that no matter what our history, our stature, no matter what our lot in life or what hand has been dealt us, he can use us. It doesn't matter if we're rich or poor, handicapped or athletic, of a different race or color, he can use us as kingdom people. You may feel insignificant and small, but don't worry. To God, we're all insignificant and unworthy and small. But in his kingdom, he, the Lord, who rules over all things, he gives us dignity and honor and significance. And we find worthiness through his finished work on the cross. Remember, even if you're small and barely visible like the mustard seed, he will use you to fulfill his purposes in the kingdom of God. In this kingdom, we receive power and authority from the king who's Lord over all. And if that king is for us, then who can be against us? And we know that in all things, the king who is God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. That's how we live in his kingdom. He called us into his kingdom. And he empowers us and enables us to live that life that he wants us to live as his children. We're empowered by him to represent him to the world. What does the word represent mean? It means to represent. We don't do again what Jesus did. We can't do that over. His work is finished. But we can represent him. We can represent him to the world, can't we? The king has sent us as subjects out into the world as ambassadors of his kingdom. You know, the government has ambassadors that they send to different countries that represent the United States. We have an ambassador to France. We have ambassadors to China. And most of the other countries of the world, we have ambassadors. Did you know that Christians are ambassadors of the kingdom of God, that he sends us out as his ambassadors representing his kingdom? In the Bible, he, the king, is called the balm of Gilead, the healing balm or oil. But we're the ones that get to apply that healing balm and lay hands on people. We represent him. In the Holy Scriptures, he's called the fountain of life, but we are the dispensers of the living water. He's the comforting shepherd's staff, but he allows us the privilege of extending it. Not only did he bear our weaknesses, but he's still touched with the feeling of our infirmities and illnesses. Did you know that? It says in the last verse in the New Testament reading today was he still sits at the right hand of the Father and intercedes on our behalf to God. And he allows us to touch others with that healing and compassion. In Galatians 6, which, by the way, we'll be studying this Wednesday night, Paul instructs us to bear one another's burdens. As ambassadors of Christ, we're empowered to bear them, and not just bear them, but to bear them away. You see, kingdom people act according to the will of God as his workers and ambassadors on earth, representing Jesus to the world. Think about it. The great healer healing through us. The great high priest priesting through us. The great lover of souls loving through us. He has given us the responsibility in this world to bring about his kingdom wherever we go. We're like lights walking into a world of darkness. And at the end of the stories, he talked about a net full of fish. And the net was brought in, and the good fish were thrown one side into a good net, and the other fish were discarded, the bad fish. I want to be in the net full of good fish at the end of the age, the one where the good fish are being saved and the bad fish are being tossed out. I want to be in the net full of good fish. Those good fish are the children of the kingdom. That's you and I. Which one do you want to be? Do you want to be in the net full of good fish or the bad fish? You want to be a good fish, huh? You know, you have a choice to live as a member of the kingdom of God or to live as a member of the other kingdom, the kingdom of the world, where everybody just goes about their business and disregards God and his will. Not living as part of the kingdom is like living life on a treadmill. You're getting nowhere fast. Or even worse, by like falling asleep on a treadmill. How, you may ask, do I become part of this kingdom? Then how do I stay there in the midst of the world? And I'm glad you asked that. Paul tells us in the reading today that the Holy Spirit will intercede for us with groaning that cannot be uttered and spoken. That the Holy Spirit shows us what the kingdom of God is. He counsels us and directs us and guides us. Do you have the Holy Spirit? Yes. The Holy Spirit can live inside of you and show you and direct you and guide you as to what God's kingdom is about in your everyday life as you walk through the world. He'll speak to you. The King, the living God, graciously gives us all things that we need to survive in that kingdom. He doesn't send us out without armor. He doesn't say, okay, you're my children, but now go into the world and you're on your own. Sorry. No. He gives us armor. He gives us his Holy Spirit. He fills us up. He gives us the right equipment to survive. He sends us out empowered by the Holy Spirit and the Word and the rest of the whole armor of God. He sends us out as ambassadors of his kingdom, not because we have earned the right or privilege through our hard work, but because he is gracious and merciful to equip us for battle in spite of ourselves. Begin each day in reverence and awe of the king. We're talking about a kingdom here. You know what a kingdom is? It's a place where there's a king seated on a throne. It's a domain that he rules. God rules the domain of his kingdom. Begin each day by realizing that. Wake up and say, good morning, Lord, my king and my God. Good morning. I want to walk today in your kingdom. I want to be one of your kingdom children, an ambassador for you. He says that whoever asks for this will receive it. Whoever asks for the kingdom of God will receive it. Whoever seeks it will find it. Whoever knocks, the door will be opened, he said, unto that kingdom. But you need to ask, you need to seek, and you need to knock. In his wondrous kingdom, where he's seated on the throne, you may enter his courtyard. Did you know that? Paul said, come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Come boldly. Don't be afraid. Jesus said we can call the king, we can call God our Father. Can you imagine that? The creator of the universe, and he said we can call him our Father. We can walk into his kingdom and approach his throne and say, Father. We can talk to him, the king of all. So talk to him every day. Read his instruction book. He's given us a wonderful book of instructions. And it says, and he'll give you the desires of your heart if you put him first in your life. All these things will be added unto you. He'll give you every desire that you have if you make him first in your life. He's looking for people who will continue to represent him and his kingdom. Are you one of those people? Do you want to be? You know how simple it is to believe and receive him and follow the king at any cost at all time. That's what you do. You simply receive him and you say, I believe. I believe. This is not a heavy burden. This is liberation. This is freedom. There's no freer and more liberating place to be than in the kingdom of God, because we're set free from all the things that encumber us and weigh us down in the world. We don't need to turn to any other things to satisfy us. When you worship God and you get into that kingdom, there's no high on earth that can equal that. No alcohol or drugs can take you to that place, I guarantee you. That's the wonderful kingdom of God. And that's where I want to be, and I want to stay all the time. Thank God he enables us to do that. In his kingdom, there is real truth and real love. Some people don't even know what love is, but in his kingdom, there's real love. He shows us what it is. And the truth that will trump the false love and lies that live around you in the world. The choice is yours. You have the free will every day, at all times, in every moment of your life. You have the free will to choose. You choose which kingdom to live in every moment. And I ask and pray today that you will choose his kingdom to live in every day. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your heavenly kingdom, which you've given to us while we're still here on earth. Help us, O Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to stay in that place, that kingdom that you've given us. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.